This portion of the show is brought to you by Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. Mark Howitt's here with me. Mark, Biden was in Arizona. I thought he was coming tonight, but I guess he's off to New Mexico to scrounge for votes or something on the backs of the taxpayers, flying around in Air Force One while screaming about the environment.
You know, he didn't even give me a heads up. I thought maybe he would just, you know, drop me a line, a text, and say, hey, yeah. Mark, I'm coming into town here.
Yeah, you want to get some ice cream?
That's right. Yeah, you know, that's always a complaint is like how much presidents use Air Force One to fly around for. You know, Trump did it a ton in his last campaign.
They all do it.
They all do it. It costs us a bunch of money.
Okay, but here's the deal. Put your money where your mouth is. I'm not talking about ice cream money here.
We're talking about climate change.
Yeah, I'm talking about climate change. Okay, you're big into this. Maybe leave the 747 at home. I know that there's all kinds of communication stuff in there, and it's set up to, you know, run. I hate to use the word run the country because you think of any of these people that they actually run anything is absurd. But able to conduct a war, which really does the president, should, are we going to go back to Lyndon Johnson where the president was picking targets? I mean, okay, your guy's important. I get it. But have you ever witnessed the entourage and the hoopla of the presidential arrival? It's like Roman times with the you know, Praetorian Guard and all that. Have you ever seen that?
I have, yeah. I was in Manhattan when Obama came in to the city. And it's always a disaster when any president goes into New York City because the traffic's already bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, they fly him in and then they helicopter him over to whatever building and limousine him from there. And it's, you know, shutting down blocks. It's cops. Yeah. It's Secret Service. You know, even when Mike Pence came here to Flagstaff during the last
election,
right?
Yeah. I was there.
Yeah, and I went over there, and you know, they have to bring in Secret Service the day before to set up everything.
Or days before.
Yeah. You know, they've got the snipers on the roofs. Mm-hmm. They've got the security in multiple waves. You know, it's a lot of, it's not just a matter of the president or vice president coming in on their jets. It's the other big military jet that comes in with all the equipment ahead of time.
Again, not jets.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even a jet,
because there is a jet.
Yeah, they're bringing in like C5s with
it's
like
the biggest
limousines.
One, whatever
and,
it is.
Yeah, yeah. The big C5 cargo, and they have jets after jet bringing in vehicles, all this stuff. And you're like, how did we get to this point?
Right.
How did we get to the point where we've made this poor person as important as they're portrayed in America? I just don't get it. And I want them to be protected, but you tell me you can't get on a little jet and zip on over and, you know, bring some security
in. Cannot.
It's a hoopla.
You cannot, because there's been assassination attempts pretty much on every president. You remember, even George Bush, people forget, someone threw a hand grenade at him.
I don't remember that.
And, yeah.
But
constant assassination attempts.
Okay, so. I get that, but to the point where you have to fly in multiple C5s and at the cost so much for the taxpayers, it's the entourage that comes, it's the shutting down of everything that happens when the president comes.
Yep.
I think it's gotten a little absurd. It's really the empire on display, if you think about it. It reminds me of Roman times, the Praetorian Guard and the
grandeur. Oh, I thought you meant like Star Wars empire, like Palpatine and Darth
Lord
Vader
Sith
and all that.
Or whatever.
Sith Lords.
Well, we're getting to that point, I think.
It's
right?
Very similar.
Yeah. So anyway, so there's that hoopla. He didn't fly into Flagstaff. I saw Bush, baby Bush, back in the day.
Okay.
Came into Flag. I know I was there when Pence came in. Others have come in, but Biden came into the Grand Canyon Airport right there.
Yeah,
right at the park, which is a big airport, by the way.
Yeah, and by the way, there's not one Air Force One. There's two.
Oh, okay.
Everywhere the president goes, there's two duplicate 747s that come in,
just ready to go.
Ready to go. So in case the one he's on has any problems, they can switch him over to the other one.
There's always two of them. I'll tell you what. And I'm going to get to this, what he did here in Arizona, but this is almost more important. If I were president, which you'd have to be insane to want to be president at this point.
It's a nutty job.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so hard.
If we could analyze the minds of people who actually want that position, right. It'd be pretty scary, right? But what would you choose as your jet? would you choose an Air Force One, or would you choose, like, hey, put an extra seat in that SR-71. Right. I don't think they're active anymore. I want to get across the country in 45 minutes. Right. Right? I mean, wouldn't that be a better way to go? I mean, if you were the president and said, hey, I need a new jet, make it quick. Suborbital would be better.
I know. I put me in a, you know, an F-14.
Yeah.
Two-seater.
You're going way, let me bring in Owen, you're going way old school here. But yeah, an F-35. Hook me up.
Those don't even have two seats. Like, what has two seats anymore? 22 doesn't.
Yeah. We're going to have to bring in Owen. Yeah. F-22 or F-35. Somebody's got, you got to train people. So
yeah, the F-22.
I wonder how long. And my son Owen loves flying and loves planes. He's designing planes all the time. He knows this stuff in and out. He really would like to become a pilot. The reality is, though, I don't know how long we will have combat fighter pilots in the cockpit anymore, because you're going to come up with drones that do G-forces and things that humans just can't do. And I just saw a special on artificial technology, it was on Netflix or Amazon or one of those, how quickly it's evolving. They put up this 25-year veteran fighter pilot against the AI, who just learned how to, and the AI beat him every time, hands down. Yeah. So once China or Russia puts AI in the cockpit, it's over. You're gonna be flying it from a computer in a screen in Vegas somewhere, or who knows where.
Yeah, and that came up in the latest Top Gun movie. It's like, what use is there really for pilots anymore?
Yeah,
fighter pilots especially. Good question. You know, they do have eyes and ears. They can, you know,
discretion. Yeah, not an AI deciding to.
You know, pull a pilot can see. Hey, all right, there's the terrorist, but he's on top of a school building full of children.
Yeah.
Is it worth bombing the whole school or not?
The AI just sees, here's the objective, there's the target, and doesn't make that decision. That came up in that movie, iRobot.
Right.
You remember that? And Will Smith's character was like, the robot calculated that the kid, that Will Smith's character had a tiny percentage chance of survival if the robot grabbed Will Smith versus the kid. And Will Smith was like, you grabbed the kid. Even if there's a 5% chance and I got a 95% chance, you still grab the kid. But the AI and the robot was like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. But as humans, we understand. So as we get down this road more of AI and technology, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of good I can see, but there's a lot of problems. By the way, we're going to have, I think in the second hour, Stuart Weatherman, he owns Diamond Auto Glass. I want to bring him in specifically to talk like car tech. And believe it or not, windshield tech. This is not just like put a piece of glass in anymore. It's gotten kind of insane with the technology that's out there. Anyway, let's talk about Biden coming to Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Biden. Yeah. So if you got a comment, I always love hearing from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Thanks to folks subscribing to the videos and the YouTube channel as well. Please continue to do that. I'm trying really hard, and I think we're getting pretty successful at posting the video and the podcast at the same time, so people have multiple avenues. So talkwithjeff.com. It's right there up top. We won't have Biden in there. Maybe we'll stick a picture of him with the ice cream. Okay, so he comes to Arizona. Why?
It's for the national monument.
For the land grab.
Land grab.
That's what I call it.
Yeah. So a lot of this is going to involve, it's probably going to go back to the uranium mining issue, right?
It's all about the uranium mining and federal control, but...
Right, and Navajo Nation. So here's the thing. The Native tribes, especially Navajo Nation, Hopi, are against uranium mining.
Yes.
They've had a lot of problems with it, still having problems with it.
And I understand that.
But here's the thing. We won't let them really sell their coal. They've got some of the best coal up on the Navajo Nation, low sulfur, the best stuff for the environment. We're shutting down coal plants. We won't let them sell their coal. And at the same time, they're saying we don't want uranium, so we're knocking out two of our energy sources.
Well, didn't this? Were you on the show last week when this came up in that Chaco Canyon or reserve or whatever in northwestern New Mexico, where the feds came in and they created a 10-mile buffer around this thing, and the Navajo Nation and the president went to Congress and said, you just knocked out like $200 million in mineral rights. We want to go in there there's a bunch of stuff. There's oil, natural gas up there, et cetera, et cetera. Feds just came in and said, nope, no more. So in one regard, Navajo Nation is like, hey, we want to be able to mine that. But in the other regard, from what I'm hearing, and if you're on Navajo Nation, you want to chime in on this, please let me know what your thoughts are. The Navajo Nation, at least, was behind creating the Grand Canyon National Monument that Biden waved his government magic wand and designated today. So they're dead set against uranium mining. And you know what? I'm not against uranium mining because I truly think that uranium and nuclear power is the way to go. It can be scary, but I think Hollywood has helped propel those fears. When you look at the safety regulation, nuclear power is one of the most regulated industries on planet Earth. Mining is one of the most regulated industries on Earth. So in one way, I get it. I get what the Navajo folks are concerned about because they dealt with the...
They're still dealing
with the crap that happened World War II era and after. But the industry is it's quite a bit different now. I mean, it's so regulated,
right? Yeah. The other issue is, and I'll let you know, we should have a Navajo representative talking about this, but
sure, I don't understand. Yeah,
there's a Navajo res, and then there's what they consider their historical lands.
Okay,
which their historical lands go into the Grand Canyon, and we have not given them that much historical land. So by creating the monument, it prevents mining on what they would consider their land.
Sure.
I think if they own the land, then
maybe it's different.
It may be different.
Yeah, I don't know.
They could say,
or maybe it's just a uranium issue. And I get it. If I was living up there and I had to deal with the horrors that folks had to deal with, I'd be there too. I'd be like, no, you guys did this so wrong. Hopefully they clean it up like they're saying they are going to, and they've opened up some field office and it's not just a bunch of blabber from the DC talking heads. But anyway, so this happened. So Biden used what's called the Antiquities Act to designate 1,563 square miles around the Grand Canyon. So north and south. I think it's a million acres or something like that. It's a huge area. Right. I can't pronounce the Navajo name. I'm sorry. I think it's going to be commonly referred to as Grand Canyon National Monument.
Probably.
You know, and I just apologize because I just don't know the language, so I have trouble pronouncing that. But they did that. He used the Antiquities Act of 1906. I don't know if you're familiar with this thing.
I haven't looked up
I've got some info. Act. Okay, so here. Was passed by Congress and signed into law by Theodore Roosevelt June 8th, 1906. It gives the President of the United States the authority by presidential proclamation to create national monuments from federal lands to protect cultural, significant, natural, scientific features, et cetera, et cetera. It's been used like 100 times since it was created. The first one that it was used on was Devil's Tower, which is an awesome site.
Nice.
Okay. What I don't like about this, and what I don't like what Congress has been doing since the early 1900s until present day, is they've relegated so much authority to the executive and also the bureaucrats,
especially.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like a president and what he's doing, you can vote him out.
Yes.
You can't vote out people in the EPA.
No.
The Department of the Interior, the USDA, all these. You can't vote out the swamp.
No, they're there. They just wait you out.
Whoever is president, it doesn't change the EPA. Even if he changes the head of the EPA and the top three guys, it doesn't change the thousands of employees that work for him.
They're entrenched in there in some cubicle and they wait you out. Yep. And that's true at your local city halls.
Everywhere.
That's true from the bottom to the very top and all points in between in government. It's gotten way too big with entrenched powers all about. So anyway, they got this Antiquities Act and they use it, and he used it. I see that the Coconino County Board of Supervisors, of which the Grand Canyon is in and this whole area is in, was heavily behind this. I had heard the chairwoman, I can't remember her name now. Chairwoman of the supervisors.
I do not remember.
Whatever. It'll come to me at some point. Sorry. But she was like, hey, we urge the Biden to use the Antiquities Act. Use the Antiquities Act. I don't like it. I don't like this authority being relegated. I think this should have went through more of a process, not a political process where if you whine and you have the right connections, you can get stuff like this passed. Right. I don't know your thoughts. I don't like how they push this stuff off. I'm not even talking about the actual area that we're in. I'm just talking about the process.
So back in 1906, Teddy Roosevelt, he was a big national parks kind of guy, outdoorsman.
Sure.
Great guy. And a lot of the park system and all that we have to thank him for. And so back then it was a great act probably back then to quickly save, Yosemite, Devil's Tower, all these amazing places throughout the country. But that's over 100 years ago. We've got our national park system. We've got our federal grasslands. We've got national park, all these different layers now. Fast forward 100 and, almost 120 years. Should the president still have that power today?
No.
Probably not.
No.
And who should?
I think, and I know Congress is dysfunctional, but that's the legislative body. That's the body that debates these issues. And that's where this should prop up from, because then at least you as an American citizen, you really don't have any chance of connecting with them. But there's a tiny, it's like Dumb and Dumber. You're saying there's a chance. There's a tiny sliver of a chance that you can get something through to your congressman or senator, and that may percolate up through the powers that be. Probably not, but you have no chance with the president of the United States with this authority.
So the authority probably should be changed to say the president has the right to refer this to Congress and demand them to vote on it.
Yeah, sure. It's kind of like a cabinet position. It has to be confirmed by the Senate or something.
Something.
So, okay, yeah, something needs to be, because it's too easy to be used politically and to curry favor and to tabulate votes. And that's what I think this is really about. Or else they would have done it a long time ago.
Well, we've got to remember what our branches of government are. The president is the commander-in-chief, yeah, and the executive.
Yeah.
The executive executes the laws.
Yeah.
He does not get to make them. That's not his job.
Well, he's confused. They're all confused.
They're all very confused.
Through executive order. And
it's not just Democrats. It's on both sides of the aisle. No. Presidents have taken too much power.
And it's the danger, because we all – this is why democracies in the past have devolved into dictatorships, if you look at the history of all this stuff. Because eventually the democracy becomes so crazy because people just start voting in, like now – all the perks and all the free stuff and et cetera, et cetera. And then chaos ensues, and then people want a strong man.
Yeah.
Or strong woman, whatever it may be. Most in history, it's been a strong man who comes in and says, I'll fix that.
Right.
I'll fix it. And we've heard that before. We've heard people say that. I'll fix that. And eventually they come in and fix it at great cost to personal liberty, individualism, all of that. But that's traditionally been the circle of life, shall we call it.
Yeah, the democracy we enjoy is very, very rare in the history of the world, or ancient.
Yeah, yeah.
Even on our planet today, you know, over, 1.3 billion Chinese are under communist.
Sure.
Basically dictatorship.
Yeah, out of what do we got, 8 billion people now? 7 right. billion?
Yeah, something like 8 billion people.
Yeah.
You know, America is a small percent. We're about 5% of the world.
Yeah, if that, I'd be shocked if we were that.
And even other countries like Australia, they don't have the freedom of speech we have. Canada doesn't have the freedom of speech we have.
No, ask the truckers.
Yeah.
Australia, ask the people who are literally locked up in jail over COVID.
Basically, nobody has a Bill of Rights like we do.
Mm-hmm. And that's what matters in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments.
It is.
I mean, that is so important, the Bill of Rights.
Imagine life without the Bill of Rights. Yeah. Where would we be today?
Well, imagine if we followed the Bill of Rights and that these politicians that swear to uphold it when they take office. Imagine if they followed it. All right. Love your thoughts. We got more on this Grand Canyon monuments. I've got some stuff on LED bulbs. I got a story out of the Philippines, someone I was talking to about America, different perspective, and sleeping pills for kids. Are we serious here? I'll talk about all that. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I do want to, I really should have brought in Angela for this because she does all of our work when it comes to insurance. And I haven't had an insurance sponsor on the program here for several years. We have been in the process of slowly switching our policies to Eric Boatner, Eric and Lisa over at Allstate Agency in Flagstaff. And we started with one a couple years ago, and then here's some more. So they've done such a good job that we're in the process of finalizing moving everything. We've moved a lot over there. So I can tell you, and that's kind of how I do our sponsors. Like, do I like your product? Do I like you?
Right.
Do you know? Can we work together? Are you providing a good service, doing a good job? And Eric Boatner and Lisa over at Allstate Agency have done just that. And I'll bring Angela in sometime because she did all the legwork on this. So if you're talking your home insurance, you're talking motorcycle, auto, RV, off-road, boat, business owners, insurance, life insurance. They do all that stuff. Why don't you give them a call, Eric Boatner over at Allstate Agency, and see what they can do for you. They actually saved us a ton of money, a lot of money. It's really, I'm very happy. I can afford to go out and get a hamburger now. No, a lot more than that. I could buy Mark a hamburger. All right, give them a call, 928-774-8722. Anywhere in Arizona, they'll be able to help you out. 928-774-8722. That's Eric Boatner over at Allstate Agency. 928-774-8722.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Now, here's why. Most insurance companies, they use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try to route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop on by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading, and it'll save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass before, as I have, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on in. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Remember, always call Diamond Auto Glass first, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
Listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
Okay, so this Grand Canyon National Monument, a million acres, something like that, 1,500 plus square miles. How much percentage of Arizona land is private? You want to guess?
Oh, I knew the stat. It's something like 7%. Is that right?
I have a number a little higher, but I've had people tell me much lower, like 12. The number I comes up more consistently is 18%. That's privately held. Then you have the feds that own it through national parks, BLM, you know, monuments.
My stat, I think, is actually Northern Arizona.
Perhaps. Yeah. Which, and then you've got Navajo Nation, you know, different tribal nations throughout the state. You name it. I don't think we're quite Rhode Island, but we're not as big of a state as you actually think we are because the feds control so much. So here's the problem. You give the power to the feds versus Arizona. It's centralized control. Where do we mine?
Yeah.
Where do we let cattle roam? Now, they're saying that cattle are still going to be able to roam in this area, the National Monument area. Check back with me in like 20 years.
See what's happening.
We'll see how good that's all going, right?
Well, the environmentalists, I mean, they're already talking about trying to get rid of cattle because of cattle farts.
Yeah. The global climate flatulence. Change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're, of course, going to
say... I use the more polite word, flatulence.
Flatulence. So they are, of course, going to say, we don't want cattle on the National Monument.
Yeah, even. Yeah, you're killing the world. You're evil. So another thing here, though, is the lack of private property in Arizona. I hear everybody, and this is a problem basically west of the Mississippi for sure, mm-hmm. but especially the Southwest, and it's tax revenues. You know, tax revenues are generated from property, property taxes. I hate property taxes. I think that's one of the more regressive things you can do. Somebody works their whole life, they save up a ton of money, and then, you know, you're not able to pay your property taxes. Boom. Tax lien coming up. You could lose and have your property foreclosed upon. So, and everybody whines and says, hey, we want to fund education. Where's half that property tax money is going to education. Mm-hmm. Free up the private land. Plus, private land is always taken care of better by individuals over government agencies.
For sure.
Absolutely. For sure. Hands down.
No, your point about private property is true and about taxing is true. Although I hate property tax any other tax. You have paid for your house. You paid income tax on the money you used to build your house.
Yeah.
You paid sales tax on the materials to build the house. You paid all kinds of real estate fees, just on and on and on. And you finally bought this thing, and the government's like, yeah, but we're going to create a tax that we're just going to charge you just for owning it.
Yeah, yeah. And what service do I get for that? Oh, nothing. You get the privilege of me coming on your property and saying that, you have a violation. You have a code violation on your property or something, right?
Oh, this is a rabbit trail, Jeff.
That's another story that I'll share with you another day.
Jeff, Jerry Neighbors would love this one. So one of my customers, they're older, they're retired. And the husband insisted that the wife call the city and say, hey, fix the sidewalk because it's all messed up all around our house.
Yeah.
So what did the city come out and do? They put a white X on every piece of sidewalk.
That need to repair.
That the homeowner has to pay to get replaced.
Look, I'm going to give you a little bit of life advice here before we go to break.
Do not call City Hall.
Hey, can you come check this out? A big mistake. No. Somebody's coming with a clipboard real quick. All right. I mentioned, you know, saving up some money to get burgers and things like that. Well, you don't have to save too much when you head on up to Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Or let's switch to tacos because it is Taco Tuesday. Every Tuesday they have great tacos, great price on tacos, fish, shrimp, they even have lobster and all the regular fixing things like that. $4 menu always going on there. You can always get something great. Always got drink specials up at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. They're in our giveaway this month, by the way. Go to talkwithjeff.com. You'll see the link to the giveaway right there in the very top. Click on that and enter in $50 at Sportsman's Bar and Grill up by the hospital in the Bash's Shopping Center. Don't go anywhere. More to come. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Mark Cowitz here with me. This one's kind of annoying me. I've been hearing a lot of commercials for sleeping pills or, you know, these chewables for kids, and I'm probably ruining my my sponsorship with them at this point if I bring this up. But I don't care. We choose who we want to have on the program. But it said something like, "Oh, helps your kids fall asleep naturally without addiction." And I'm like, "What kid needs to need help falling? Is this really a big problem in America today, where kids are? You remember being like,
okay, I'm going to give you a quick brief on my method of parenting, because usually my wife's putting the kids to sleep. What I do as a dad when she's not around, I just run them into the ground until they're begging me to go to sleep.
So tired, Dad.
Can I go to bed?
No, go ride your bike some more.
That's right.
You'll play in the street.
I really think it is ridiculous to give kids sleeping pills or any other medication for that matter that isn't fixing an immediate illness. In other words, ADHD, sleeping problems, all this, a lot of it is, comes down to two things: not enough exercise and way too much sugar.
Yeah, the sugar is a big thing. And I'll throw in the screen time.
And screen time.
Just way too much screen time, out of control. No, but I'm like, wait, I remember when I was young. Do you remember? Let me rephrase this. And you all might appreciate this. Do you remember when you just put your head down on the pillow and zonked? And then 9 hours later, you're like, whew, time to start the day. And you didn't wake up five times. You didn't have to get up, use the bathroom. Just, you know, how do they do it? Well, you're right, because in a normal world, the kids are so active. Right. They're going crazy. You try to get them to take a nap, especially when they're real young. No.
Yeah.
My kids are always like, gotta go. Especially Olivia. Imagine her. She's like, no way, not taking a nap. I'm like, well, can I take a nap? Would that be okay? So I just don't get that. I mean, I think that the pharmaceutical industry is so ingrained in our whole system. I talked about this yesterday with Phil Kirpin about, he was talking AARP, and one of their major, funders or whatever, and you start seeing massive conflicts of interest.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So what happens, especially with the pharmaceutical industry, is it, for example, you know, talk about MRSA all the time, you know, this infection that you can't kick down with antibiotics, and they can create a new antibiotic for it, but it becomes so resistant to that new antibiotic so quickly, it's not worth it to them to create new antibiotics. Because
not true.
It costs about $1 billion to come up with a new drug. The time you develop it, go through the testing.
For the first pill.
For the first pill, right? So when you develop a sleeping pill, you've got to sell it, whether it be to kids, old people, people that are already sleeping 9 hours a night, doesn't matter.
Yes,
okay. You've got to sell this pill because you are $1 billion in debt starting out. So you've got to sell $1 billion worth of pills to break even.
Yep.
And then start making your profit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing with the Pfizer vaccine, right?
Yeah,
quote vaccine. I hate even using that term.
Yeah, the mRNA vaccines that they came out with. Yeah,
heavily invested into it. They've got to sell it. They've got to get their people that they donate to, their, you know, politicians, basically.
Yeah, and then where do those people go? Who is the head of these organizations? Where do they go when they work the government, and then they go over to the various drug manufacturers afterwards? Yep. There should be a prohibition on that. I've seen that even happen in your local communities, where somebody is in a position of serving and then they wind up getting a gig somewhere. Mm-hmm. There should be especially on the federal side, and I'd say maybe even statewide, where you can't get a gig in the field that you were doing. So if you were the what is NHA, whatever, the director of, or the, it was, I think recently it was the CDC director. Remember that girl that basically wanted us all to stay inside and wear 18 masks and, you know, and get 500 shots. Remember her? What was her name?
I don't remember, I can't remember her. I just,
she's working at one of the drug companies now.
Of course.
What's it been? 3-6 months? Come on. You shouldn't be able to get a job for multiple years. So that influence hopefully wears away and wears down.
Right. Once you've worked in Washington, you know the ins and outs of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you can then go to work for a private company and help them get things through very quickly.
Yeah. I think it's wrong, but it's one of the many things that's wrong with America. The solution is actually the solutions to a lot of our problems is actually quite simple.
Less government.
Yeah. Less government would be, I was talking to someone today. And we're talking about how things just need to, you know, one way to solve the problems we've got is there's too much money out there. I know that sounds silly. You know, there's a, in America today, we are wealthy beyond imagination when it comes to the thing. You turn on the tap. Think about it. How many people throughout recorded history, they couldn't get access to clean water?
Right.
We take that for granted. And that's
Most of the world still.
Yeah, that's a simple thing. Everybody has shelter. Everybody has entertainment. Everybody has food. I know there's people hungry, but there's places where you can get food. It's not like certain parts of the world. So we have all this money. We have all this wealth. And I think more importantly, we have all this time. Mm-hmm. And I think time has created more problems for people because they've basically come up and created more and more problems in their head.
Yeah, when you become idle.
If you didn't have money or you didn't have food, I don't think we have a lot of the problems we have right now because you're working to solve through that.
My dad always said, he's like, nobody told me I was supposed to have a midlife crisis. I was so busy working, I just never had one.
<He's> just, I couldn't afford a midlife crisis. Oh, man. Stuart Weatherman's here with us as well. He's going to be sticking around next hour. So we're going to talk about windshield tech. For those of you watching the video, I want to make sure that they saw you come in, Stuart. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thanks for having me in.
Yeah, we'll get to some of that. Because I think everything has gone crazy with technology. Like we've maybe gone too far.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we'll hit on all that. But no, I think people have too much, they have too much, a little too much time on their hands. Mm-hmm. And that could be part of the reason why we have the problems we have. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Go ahead and send in your comments. Hey, if you're selling a home right now in the Flagstaff area, I want you to call Kelly Broaddus. You heard her on the program last week giving a market update. Mark, did you hear the median price? I think it was 680-ish in the Flagstaff area.
Well, I think it was over 7.
Was it over 7?
Yeah.
Well, it was a lot. And it's kind of staggering to me how I kind of question how people are even buying some of these homes at this point with the way interest rates have moved and all that.
Yes.
But she told me there's a lot of like cash buyers still coming in, selling out in bigger markets where it's a couple million dollars.
Yeah, right. And the scary thing about that is that is not first time home buyers. The first time home buyer is really hurt by high prices, but even more by the interest rates.
Yeah. Well, what was your first one? What'd that cost?
First one, I think, was $42,000. And my second one was $41,000. I remember that.
I was about 87, and it was a real junker. And
this was in Texas, and it was...
It's probably still
$42,000. No, it's pretty cheap out in the Midwest. You know, Dallas is taking off, but yeah, Midwest.
If you want to sell out and maybe go buy that $42,000 house on 80 acres, and then you can just like... You probably buy your own plane. It's not going to be like Biden's Air Force One or something like
that. That's a retirement plan, right? If you live in Flagstaff, sell your house.
And just move almost anywhere else.
Kelly Broaddus, get her to sell it for you. And then go to Kansas, buy a house, a ranch, a jet, a helicopter.
And go on vacation. Hang out or something, yeah. Anyway, call Kelly Broaddus. She's got a full team of dedicated professionals around her that'll help you through the entire process from listing to close. It can get pretty complicated. 888-446-5602. That's 888-446-5602. Or go to northernarizonafinehomes.com, click on the home valuation you can get and see if you're in the median or below.
I know,
or
Kelly actually,
way above.
She actually, she wasn't my agent, but she brought a buyer for a house I sold.
Yeah.
And she did a great job, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm on her email list for, you know, what's my house worth and market updates. And
yeah,
she's got a lot of good information. Really does.
That's pretty good. Okay. But yeah, the sleeping pills for kids, you got to question that stuff. I'll just say that I don't think that's a good route to go. And all this stuff is addictive.
Oh yeah.
Like, have you ever done like some of those the Tylenol PM?
Yeah, they're all addictive.
The next thing you know, you're like, I need that to fall asleep.
And they all have side effects, whether it's hard on your liver or kidneys or whatever
liver,
it is.
The liver thing, yeah. Yep. All right, what do we got here? Do you want to hit on, if we go down the light bulb road, I don't know if we'll make it. Let's start this. Maybe we'll have to carry it over to the next hour. But
so I actually went to the big orange box. And I was like, I wonder if I can find any leftover incandescent bulbs that are still in stock.
No, they're gone.
And I thought I saw some, but they're actually LED bulbs that are very fancy and look like incandescents, you know, with the fancy little, forgetting the word, you know, the
diodes.
What's the bit inside that lights up and gets hot?
Filament.
Filament. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Edison's not really he perfected it. There was other people that did it, but he made the light bulb commercially viable.
Well, you know, we went through this whole craze of like CFLs, compact fluorescent light bulbs, right? To try to save energy. Horrible. Mercury poisoning. what a nightmare that was. But the only reason we have LED light bulbs right now is some guy, I think it was a couple guys, got the Nobel Peace Prize for creating the LED light bulb that could actually put out white light.
Okay.
Because it wasn't until recently they could do that.
I thought the guy who came up with the LED thing didn't even have that. Like, he didn't make anything on it.
So the original, like, LEDs was...
Yeah, that was a long time.
A long time ago.
But it took a long time to perfect. You can... The government destroyed the light bulb. They destroyed the gas can. They're moving on to the dishwasher, the hot water heater, the car. Marriage. Basically everything they touch turns to the gas can. But you can thank the creative nature of entrepreneurship of people who came up with LED bulbs, because we were forced to switch to the CFL, compact fluorescent light bulbs, right?
Yep.
And that was under Bush, but baby
Did
Bush.
Did he start that?
Yeah, he started that.
Of course.
Yeah.
All of that is under the government bureaucracy, the EPA, whoever.
Yeah. So anyway, we were dealing with that for years. Horrible. You know, they got rid of the 100-watt incandescent. They started working through the wattage until last August 1st. They said,
no more.
Incandescent light bulb, you cannot sell them in America.
Real
so
quick.
They banned them.
People that have chickens will often put these incandescent light bulbs in the chicken house because it provides a little bit of
heat.
Warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the chickens. They'll freeze to death.
Yeah.
Now what do you do?
Gasoline. No, I don't recommend that, or else you're gonna have
put a little space heater in there. Like, what?
It's dangerous. Even those heated light bulbs, there were some fires from that. But your LED bulb ain't gonna do nothing, right? So what I'm getting at is the private sector actually saved the light bulb with the LED. They came out with all these LED bulbs and fixtures. They are pretty good. There's a lot of positives about it. The lighting options, you can change the colors, you can do this, you can do that. But they're also very bad. And they're bad in a way that it's piercing white light. Look at the headlights in the cars. I mean, I'm almost blind at night. I can't even see anymore driving around. And it's blinding you. I think we're going down the road of serious light pollution. You know, when I was camping above West Clear Creek a couple weeks ago and you can see down towards Phoenix, it's that red glow.
Oh, yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
But you can see these LED bulbs from miles away. It's a piercing light. So my son had to get a new bulb for his fish tank. He loves these fish. And it went to the pet big box store, right?
Oh, yeah.
Got the bulb, put it in, and he's like, oh, my, this thing is so bright. The fish are like
gonna be blind,
and like take out one of the bulbs. So we got a real problem developing with what's going to be. I don't believe that the traditional light bulb is causing. It might cause your bathroom to heat up, but I don't think it's the end of the world. Although it loses a lot of energy through heat.
Well,
right?
Can you imagine how
bad
it would be?
Not the end of the world.
If God had put the sun in the sky that was the color of an LED light bulb.
we'd all be walking around with those goggles like at
some serious Oakley's,
like when they did the above ground nuclear testing.
Right.
I still got to see that. What's that movie?
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, Oppenheimer. Have you seen that?
I haven't. I was going to rush out and see it. But then it was rated R, and a lot of it had to do with language. I just really get frustrated when movies are cussing at me. It just irritates me.
I hear it's good, though.
He's one of my favorite directors, Christopher Nolan.
Okay, I can look past that stuff. I thought it got the R rating because there's some sex scenes and things like that, which kind of disappoints me because I wanted to bring Owen to it.
Right.
Because, you know, he would really be
into
that.
Aren't we talking nuclear bombs here? Why do you need sex scenes and all this
stuff? I don't need to know Oppenheimer's personal, you know, whatever is going on, right? I mean, just tell me the story. on
just like
the
anybody
bomb.
I don't need to know about your personal sex life.
I know
if you work for me, if you work for somebody else,
it's irrelevant to the story, but they had to throw in. I haven't seen it, so I can't really comment on it too much. I thought you just hadn't seen it yet because you had to do the Barbenheimer thing and you had to see the Barbie movie first.
Barbie.
To get your $5 discount. All right. If you're thinking about refinancing your home, call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. That's what Angela and I did here about a year ago. We actually refinanced a multifamily property. Kim did an excellent job. I got to get her back in to talk about interest rates, by the way, pretty soon. You're a first-time home buyer. You're someone who's purchasing a new home, maybe cash-out refinance, second homes, off-grid properties, things like that. Kim Dawson over at Nova Home Loans, she can help you out. And Nova Home Loans, you're talking to Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender, so they can act like a broker, but they can also, they're a bank too. So you got kind of the best of both worlds, and you can get into all different kinds of programs. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she'll find the best program for you, 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458, or go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Oh yeah, mention the Jeff Orbit Show. Get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans. NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Orbit Show.
Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Malls, is a place that I've been going to for a long time. And Rob and Elise Wilson, the owners out there, they come on this program to talk about the Second Amendment, to talk about firearms and much more. Now, this is a great facility just north of Flagstaff with an indoor shooting range. What I also like about them is they have a lot of courses that's not just for expert level, but they have that as well. But they've got their intermediate handgun training. They've got courses for new gun owners. And I know there's a lot of new gun owners out there, their first shots program. Why don't you go to their website right now and check out the training opportunities coming up. Sign up for one of these courses at timberlinefirearms.us, or you can call them up right now. See what training availability is out there at 928-526-7900. That's 928-526-7900. Timberline Firearms and Training, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Enjoy their great indoor shooting range. Check out their Liberty Safes, their firearms, their ammunition, all their accessories. Plus, hey, ladies, don't forget, $11 gets your range time on Thursdays, and that includes a gun rental. You just got to buy the range ammunition. Stop on by Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. I'm surprised I didn't get emails about Olivia going to see Barbie. She did go see it.
She went and saw it?
Yeah, like people. I'm surprised, like, you're a bad parent.
I'm curious to see what she'll think.
You know, this is like, all the girls are like, we got to go see that.
She's running into adulthood. I mean, she's becoming a teenager. She needs to start making her own choices.
Yeah, and I was like, I told her, I'll tell her how it's wrong, but I can't. I got to see it first. So
you got to let kids make some mistakes.
All right, more to come. Don't go anywhere. Back in just a few. Hi, this is Jeff Orvitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com, or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ms. Kitty Steakhouse in Williams.
You're listening to The Jeff Orbit Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. Mark Howitz here with me. Stuart Weatherman is hanging out with us for the hour as well. He owns Diamond Auto Glass, which I talk about from time to time. I think I got to come see you. I think I might have a chip in the mini windshield at Angela's car. I probably should turn you up. I took it, and next thing you know, I cause a problem.
All day long, every day, customers coming in for the chip repairs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with our roads the way they are, and they're a lot better now, especially 17. It's looking a lot better. 40 is looking a lot better.
Yeah.
But yeah, all day, every day, customers coming in. No appointment necessary. Usually we say we treat it like a pit stop. It takes like, you know, 5-10 minutes
to
come in and chip's fixed in 5-10 and
it's a pretty cool process. It's like shooting the ooze in there. That we'll get to that. I want you to explain some of the windshield tech here in just a second.
But
I take Angela's. It's hard for me in that Mini because I'm on the verge of like, am I going to get a speeding ticket? It's such a zippy car and you're low to the ground and you just don't realize how quick the thing can go.
Yep.
And how maneuverable it is and stuff. And it's a little tiny car, but man, it's a fun car.
I think you're under the radar though.
Yeah, it's flying down there. Yeah, that's a good point. It's like they didn't even see that. I actually, on the way out of Camp Verde the other day, I stopped at this drive-through and I don't think they saw me. I was just like, cause, you know, and I felt like, you know, I felt like this big. I was like, it's my wife's car.
Hey, I'm down here.
Yeah, I wanted to save gas. I did something good for the environment, you know.
You bought a Mini and you...
I bought a Mini. It's like you got to pump premium in it all the time, but it, you know, it doesn't use a lot.
Bad for your wallet, good for the environment.
It doesn't use a lot of gas, yeah. All right. I made a phone call the other day. I think it was yesterday morning. I've been having a billing issue with a company I'm dealing with, one of the big national companies. And so I had to call them up and I finally said, okay, what's going on here? I think you owe me like $700. But it's really not important to this story at all. But when I called the number and I'm like, this can take me an hour. Let me put on my headset. Maybe I'll go pick some of the corn out in the field or whatever. You got to love technology. I'm connected to somebody in the overseas. I could tell right away. You know, it's like accent, this and that. And that's fine. You know, I used to get kind of upset about this stuff, but you got to kind of pick your battles. And you're like, we went that way so long ago that that's how it is. I prefer to have American or at least, you know, North American tech support or whatever, call centers.
Yep.
But sometimes you deal with it and you're just like, okay, be polite. I used to get a little rude and be like, I can't understand. You know, you just like, after a while, you're like, okay, what good is this serving? What purpose in life? So anyway, she turned out to be, her name was Christelle, I believe, right? I told her, we wound up talking and I mentioned the show at some point because I said, I think I'm going to talk about this. So she might be listening, and I hello from around the world there, and you got to love technology that, you know, we can be all connected like this.
It is
like,
pretty amazing. Never before. When you travel overseas, you can text, talk to anybody in
exactly,
the world.
Exactly, exactly. And funny enough, and I'll just spill the beans, it's for my cell phone, which the national carrier is AT&T, right? And I had an issue with a little, like a hotspot type thing.
Yeah.
It's just not working good in Camp Verde.
Yep.
So I actually been toying around with Starlink and I got the app and I'm like out in the field, like, will it come in good? So I think I'm going to be switching to Starlink because I'm pretty rural where I'm at down there.
And because Musk doesn't have enough money.
Yeah. I want to get him to $300 billion, you know, so that because he does have like, he claims he has a Twitter defense fund. So did you hear about this?
I have not.
Yeah. 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 So if you've been fired from your job because of something you posted on Twitter, that's just like an opinion type thing.
Yeah.
He says, contact us and we'll help you with the legal fees and go after your employer for that. So I was like, okay.
I don't know how that'll work for me because I posted one thing on Twitter.
And they banned you.
They banned me.
Well, that was under the other dude with the long beard.
No, this
beard.
Was under,
this under Musk?
I deliberately signed up because I was like, I'm excited about Musk taking over Twitter. So I signed up, got an account, posted an article from a major news outlet, and was instantly banned.
Maybe he didn't like the news outlet. Was it like MSNBC or
well,
something?
The article was about the guys down in Phoenix, the Maricopa County recorder, who was actually funding, created a political action committee against Carrie Lake and all these other Republicans. Anyway, so I reposted a news article about that. Bam, I'm blocked.
You're gone. Huh?
But anyway, getting back to your Filipino, because we're rabbit trailing here.
Yeah. That's okay. That's all we always do, right? Yeah, no, so I'm like, she's like, where are you at? And I start talking to her, and she's like, well, she's entering in information. I'm getting my $720 credit, right?
Right.
For the overages. So she's just trying to, you know, buy time and talk to me. And she's like, well, what do you do? And I was like, well, I'm in, you know, I'm in real estate and this and that. And she's like, wow, I want to get into, I want to start my own business. I was like, well, yeah, you got to do this and this. And, you know, I just start kind of talking and having a conversation. She's like, well, I want to come to America. And I was like, Let me explore this a little bit. It's like you're in the Philippines, and I hear the beaches are real nice there, but is it pretty jacked up there? She's like, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. And I said, you do watch the news, though, and you see, like, and she said America or Canada. A lot of people first step is Canada, right?
Sure.
I said, well, it's pretty jacked up over here right now. You know, I mean, you see what's going on. We're
ready to go over there.
Yeah, you're the expat thing where a lot of people are like, going to get a second passport.
My wife is Filipina.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So this was not planned at all. What are the stars are lining up? Okay. So have you been there?
I have not.
Okay.
But we got married right before COVID hit, and you still right now can travel over there without the jab. But you can't travel back. The Philippines will not let you out.
Until
you get it.
So it's like forced.
So now I can't go over there until they let
that up. Oh, that's crazy. So she was just like, and I said, well, you see what's going on over here. And I said, and then she mentioned Canada. I said, well, you saw Canada. They were like locked down. And she's like, not like here. And now I know what she's talking about, Stuart, exactly. Because you're saying, hey, they've gone totally crazy. So she wants to get over to Canada, which Canada is totally insane.
Yes. You
know, socialist utopia insanity over there. But I think we got to put things into perspective. That's why I do this show every day. That's why I know, Mark, you're here all the time now.
Yes.
Stuart, you're fighting for a lot of causes out there as well and pushing on things. Because we still know what we've got. I think some of us do, but there's a lot of people who have forgotten. When you talk to other people in other countries, it gives you perspective of, I would do whatever I got to do to get out of here. She sounded like a young girl. Mm-hmm. She sounded like she really wanted to learn about business and was really motivated to work for herself. I was like, well, this, you know, go through the process. This is the people we want.
They're typically
to come to America.
Yeah, they're typically very educated also.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was. And it was, you know, she helped me out and got everything through. And I just thought it was an interesting conversation and an interesting perspective because did you see the person that they were getting out of North Africa or wherever and they got a ride on the rudder of the cargo ship? So they thought it was going to Europe. And I think it was somewhere on the east coast of Africa.
A fishing line?
They brought stuff to like set. So the rudder's got a big enclosure in the back and, you know, or a big opening. And they like tied themselves up there where the rudder wasn't swinging or whatever. I'll try to get a picture in the video here. And, they thought it was going to Europe and it was like 2 weeks later and it winds up in Brazil. And I think there's three or four guys on there and they brought fishing gear and this and that. They're lucky a storm didn't hit or something because I think they would have been swamped and they found them. I think one of the guys got deported back. But hey, you do have to question though. It's like, when do you say, okay,
good try.
Come on in. You know, it's like you just didn't go across the border and say, hey, arrest me. Yeah. You actually, did something like that.
Someone with that stamina, you'd think you'd want them on, you know, in your country. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, head on up to Alaska, join the fishing industry or something, right? I mean, you're gonna pull down $100,000 a year and, you know, obviously you just got through that. But I guess my point is people in the world still look to America as that shining, yes, you know, city on the hill, the light, the Statue of Liberty, all that, you know, mm-hmm. And they want to get here. And we still have that, but it's quickly slipping away. And we know that here. We know something's wrong. And I hope we can still fix it.
I probably share that with my wife daily.
That something's wrong.
Like something's wrong here.
Yeah.
And she gets it. And mm-hmm. She sees, you know, the things I put in reserve.
Yeah.
And, you know, gold.
Yeah.
You know, silver.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the things like that.
Yeah. What are you preparing for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And why?
And so, when I was overseas, Jeff, one thing I did notice is people from whatever country are always trying to step to the next better country, Mm-hmm. At the end of that line is always America.
It is.
If you're coming from, like, when I was in Israel, you had the Russians, Ukrainians especially, immigrating mm-hmm. to Israel. That was not their final goal. They get to Israel, and then if you have to take a stop in Europe or Canada, but the final goal is get to America because you have the best chance here of the best life,
mm-hmm.
you know, capitalistic. If you work hard, if you're smart, if you apply your mind, if you're not doped out, you know, drugged out.
Those guys on the rudder, they're going to make you know, the hardest workers in America, they're going to be truck drivers or entrepreneurs.
Yeah. And that's, I wish we could find a way to promote legal immigration and make that because I've talked to so many people who came here, especially from Indonesia, places like that, India, et cetera, et cetera. And they tell me the stories of 5 to 10 years that, and they came from a very educated background, maybe even a very successful family over there. And they're like, still wanted to get over here. And they've come over, they've started businesses, they've been highly successful, but they say it was a nightmare. And a lot of them are frustrated because they're like, and then someone comes over illegally. Right. And steps over the line. How can we make immigration right? How can we actually follow the process? What do we need as a country as far as skill sets, as far as, you know, where?
So how many
we should be able to dictate that as a country, not, oh, we just, you're coming over here because you're having a bad time in your country. Well, I'm sorry.
How many countries has to be more than in that. The world, how many countries in the world actually have immigration issues?
Like we do, yeah.
No, just immigration issues.
Yeah, like people lining up.
Who wants to immigrate to the Congo? Who wants to immigrate to India? Who wants to immigrate to China? Who wants to immigrate to the Philippines? Beautiful place, but who wants to go from wherever you are to the Philippines?
Well,
wherever you are to Russia.
You have refugee camps, but it's not the same.
No, it's, you know.
Yeah, and they're usually on a stage to go to another place. Yeah. It's a transition place, yeah.
The countries with the biggest immigration problems, America at the head, are the most capitalistic countries.
Yeah.
The countries that have the best opportunity to make something of yourself.
Or countries that value individual freedom, things like that. Yep. And there's not a lot of them. Now, on the other hand, you mentioned, hey, people are looking to go to the Philippines. I listen to a lot of people, podcasts and stuff. They talk about expats. I've had guests on this program that live in other countries, from Singapore to down in South America. So you name it.
Belize, all kinds of places.
Yeah. The difference is you go to those places with money.
Yes.
You've already succeeded for the most part. I couldn't imagine going...
Expats are not leaving the States to go somewhere to make money, usually.
Yeah. No, but they can live in, like, Philippines for $1,500 a month, which is, like, their Social Security.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They can live really well. I mean, they have home, a car, and usually, like, a housemaid or someone to cook for them.
Yeah.
And all the fish and food you can eat.
Yeah. Well,
for 15.
I'm saying they're going there with money. I mean, not necessarily saying everyone's multimillionaires, although there's a lot of people that do that, but just... If your money's coming from the U.S. and you're pulling in a couple $1,000s, few $1,000s a month, and maybe you have some assets, you sold a house, you're going to live. I know there's people in Mexico around like Lake Chapelle, or whatever that's called in the middle, north of Mexico City, Costa Rica, Panama. Yeah. I mean, you name it, Thailand, all over the world, but they're going there with
American dollars.
Yeah. American dollars, a source of revenue that's coming in from somewhere else. And they're treated well because it's kind of a cash cow locally. And generally you don't have problems. But that's the exception. I mean, most people aren't going over, like you said, I want to go to the Congo and start a business.
Not happening.
I mean, you may go.
Not usually.
To steal a line from Doug Casey, you might go there to speculate.
Yeah.
Like he advocates, and he's been on the show a couple of times, an author and a big investor. He says, hey, if you're a guy and you're in your 20s and you really want an adventure and you want to maybe make it big, go on over alone to Africa. You might strike it, or something bad could happen too, but it's interesting. So I just wanted to share that because I think that perspective gets lost, and that's why we keep fighting, because we have nowhere else to go.
The Philippines are fascinating to me because I grew up around Filipinos, and they living in Texas, and they came here, they made a bunch of money, and then they went back and retired in the Philippines and built a house for like $12,000, you know, just a nice place. And
it was like hardwoods.
They built two
concrete
houses.
Yeah. Typhoons.
Oh, is it? Typhoons, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Beautiful. And they sent back pictures. I'm like, this is an amazing spot.
Mark's going to hang out at the beach all day.
I would love to have a second homes in all these beautiful places.
Yeah.
But anyway, is that the end of your story? She wants to come to America?
Yeah. She wants. Okay. And that was about the end of it. Yeah. And I just, because it was just the conversation went that way.
I'll share it real quick. My ex-wife. Oh, sorry, Emmy. She's going to kill me.
Tune that out for a second. But in Stuart's defense, we were listening to some music on the way in. It was All My Exes Live in Texas. So, thanks. I mean, it's just Freudian.
Thanks, Jeff. But yeah, you know, she literally grew up very, very poor. And, you know, got a scholarship when she was like 5. They, some Europeans built them a house. And because she was, you know, really showing progress at a young age, helped them out, the family out tremendously, just having, you know, a better roof over their head with plumbing and et cetera. But she, she worked through with a, for an aunt from the time she was like 10 till 14, 15, like cooking, cleaning a house in the bigger city, and got an education, became a special needs or special education teacher, worked feverishly to get out of the Philippines, applied for a job online, and ended up in like Stockton, California. Within, I mean, it was so crazy out there. Even being in Stockton for like 6 months, she's like, I got to get out of here.
This is nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it's slum area anyhow.
Yeah.
Ended up on the Hopi Reservation and spent 6 years out there.
Doing education.
Doing special needs education.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to meet her like almost 4 years ago.
Wow. That's crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, hard work.
That travel, that journey. And when you're a kid thinking, oh, I'm going to wind up in Flagstaff, Arizona,
I feel like the Hopi Reservation has got to be about the furthest thing from the Philippines. That's just why it's been like climate.
Culture, everything. Imagine sending pictures back, you know, like, talking to family, video and whatever, and saying, I just got, you know,
it's a little just desolate
total different world. Yeah. Amazing stuff. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Your email comments are always welcome. Olivia will be piling those up. I already see quite a few and I appreciate all that. It is a great time to head on over to Marco's Pizza. Absolutely love
you're doing it again, Marcos. I'm hungry, and you start talking about food sponsors.
This is all planned. You know, it's dinner. Oh. It's dinner time. So, go to the place that's been voted best pizza, best wings, 3 locations in Flagstaff. A lot of great craft beers and drinks as well. So check all that out. They've got that kind of that cheesy type bread. I don't know what it's called. Isabel, you know Isabel works there.
I do. Yeah, I run into her every once in a while.
Some kind of cheesy bread thing that's really good. Great, great wings. I mean, it's.
Okay, so their wings are good. Notch. But here's what I'm really liking there is cauliflower bites.
That's a
I'm hooked on these.
David DeMarcus has talked about that. That's one of their very big popular items.
Love those things.
He was on the show during COVID Insanity too. It was actually hard to get those that item, and you know you wouldn't think that, but I don't know. It's crazy stuff. All right, go to DeMarco's Pizza. Go check that out. Get a great pizza and tell them I sent you over it. All right, more with Stuart Weatherman and Mark Howitt. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
You know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in, they laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com.
Listening to the Jeff Horowitz Show.
All right, Stuart Weatherman's here with us. He owns Diamond Auto Glass, and Mark Howitt's here as well. Your comments, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Did windshields have like a lifespan? Like, it's glass, right? I mean, it's not really glass, though, isn't it? Like, what's in it? Because, you know, the old-time movies you see, it was just shatter. Now it's all got the, like, the little it's, fragment. Is it like plastic?
Windshields are laminated, so there's 2 layers of glass with a safety lamination in between.
Okay.
And so the windshields are very safe. I mean, we've had customers come in off of 40 where, you know, well, first of all, we get the elk hits.
Oh, yeah. So
once in a while, a people hit, which is really kind of scary sometimes to deal with. But most, you know, we have boards coming off trucks on the freeway and impaling windshields, and it takes a lot to impale
a windshield. To actually go through.
Yeah. Normally an elk will fall on the glass and fall off the car. And, you could still drive the car. It's not safe. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't do it. You'll get pulled over if you get caught with it.
You just stick your head out the window.
Like, I mean, Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I can testify to this because when I built my house about 22 years ago here in Flagstaff, I had parked my work van too close to where we were working. And one of the guys way up on the top of the roof accidentally let loose a 2x4 and it went straight into the windshield, but did not go through that. Mm. It indented probably 3-4 inches.
Yeah.
But the shape of a 2x4 just and stopped.
And yeah, I had a big rock. I brought the Tahoe to you a couple of years back. We were up in Oregon, and big rock came and just like a baseball.
Yeah.
You know?
But it doesn't come through all the way.
No. And we left it like that till we got back. I'm surprised we didn't get pulled over. It was a pretty big hit.
The lamination does its job. It really does. And but you ask how it wears, and with all the cinders we have on the roads out here, windshields will start showing a sign of pitting almost immediately, just depending on the weather. If it rains or snows, you're going to, you know, the cinders are going to get kicked up, and the windshield is, you know, even in the dust, you know, with all the dirt roads and everything, cinders end up on the pavement.
Yeah.
They get kicked up in the wind, and they start basically just putting small sand pits just all over the glass.
Yeah.
And after a couple of years, it's almost like looking through a misty windshield. You know, I recommend to customers, they'll come in and they want a rock chip repaired. And I'm like, you really should consider replacing your windshield.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because when you're driving into the sun, especially, you're going to get a glare.
Yeah, really bad.
You're going to be like a dentist. You're going to be like a dentist soon. You got to come in every 6 months. We're going to put you on a subscription that you could start that. The subscription service for windshields. We just replace that thing every 6 months.
There you go.
Every six
probably
months.
Afford a place in the Philippines, like right on the beach, you know, 3 stories. Yeah. Made.
So, you'll be doing your own. You just answer the phone from there.
I could do that now.
Yeah,
Stuart, that's true. I've seen this in my own cars because work trucks and everything. It seems like I get a chip on windshield every year or a crack or something. And every time I get that new windshield, it's like somebody cleaned my eyeglasses. It's so much clearer to look out a new windshield versus one that's even 2-3 years old.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
That's your eyes. It's your age.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's why we have so many reviews, I think.
Yeah. All right. I want to hit on, when we come back, actually, I wanted to talk to you about the tech side of this because I've been really big on this lately, how complex things have gotten because it's I think, become overly complicated, but I want to get your take on this because there's cameras in everything nowadays. There's all kinds of sensors and like radars and this and that, I believe. But let me get your understanding on this or your take because you're the expert on this. Mark Howitz here with me, Stuart Weatherman. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Go ahead and send in that comment. Don't forget that Zero Res Northern Arizona's got it's pet month this month. So if you got a puppy, you got a cat, you get the odors in the carpet and the fabrics and things like that. Zero Res got a great special going on this month. If you enter the promo code Puppy Love, I like it. PUPPY Love, all one word, capital Puppy Love. Get 20% off pet related services. Most of the time, they can come in and just do their thing and get rid of the odor. Some situations are a little more difficult. I said this yesterday. If you got the cat that's going in the corner for 9 years,
so bad.
A little more demanding.
Yes.
But Zero Res Northern Arizona, they'll be able to figure it out for you and take care of that. Because we love our pets, but sometimes we don't love the things.
That's right.
The odors and the things they left behind. Addie recently got fleas. I think she probably got it on that West Clear Creek trip we took, right? She's itching away, and I'm like, oh, man. So that's why I've been kind of like, you know, itching just
hopefully they don't have the plague. You know, fleas carry the plague, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or leprosy. We were talking about that yesterday. But anyway, yeah. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Enter promo code PUPPYLOVE. Get 20% off. Plus, remember, they got all their normal services, too, as well as the fabric cleaning of vehicles, things like that, and house cleaning as well. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Go check that out right now. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Mark Howitz here with me. Stuart Weatherman owns Diamond Auto Glass. I want to get into some tech issues, and then I'll try to wrap up with an Arizona news roundup. That's kind of my new thing towards the end of every show. I'm trying to keep it.
Trying to stay on track.
You know, you've talked about that third hour, and I've resisted and resisted, but some, like today, we could probably just keep
going rolling
on and on and on and on. Don't forget, got the video up at talkwithjeff.com. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please subscribe to the podcast. Help us grow that. Go to talkwithjeff.com. I revamped the website so it's simple. Today's video, today's audio. Got some podcasts below. The giveaway. We got the giveaway going on up there right now as well. That's about it. And then we got Orbitz Overload. Just kind of very simple. Pick a couple things, and it's helped because I appreciate all you watching those. Subscribe and share. Subscribe and share. Appreciate that. But I think the technology, though, Stuart, is... this is what concerns me. And you're probably going to get to a point where you're in an automobile and it's like, there's no steering wheel because they don't want you to touch it anymore. It's like, these have become like microchips on wheels, but the windshields too, don't they have like the cameras in the, don't you have to calibrate things now? Like you just switch out the windshield or is there a whole process now?
We have to remove the camera. Typically the cameras are attached to the windshield mirror mount.
Okay.
And we have to remove that camera. Remove the windshield. After the windshield's been the new windshield's been installed, the camera has to be mounted back up. Well, this is the issue why we recalibrate the cameras. It's a manufacturer requirement, but you have to understand that if that windshield camera is off by a millimeter where it's mounted, when it could be off by 2 feet, 40, 50 feet out where it's looking. So if it's off, it could be a foot, or two over the line without, basically alerting the driver or correcting the car. Because these days they'll correct the steering and put you back in the lane. So if the camera's off, you could be, headed right into the wrong lane in the oncoming traffic, which would be detrimental.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah, probably.
Probably need a windshield after that. Yeah, to me. Yeah,
well, I'm even thinking, like, if the parking sensors are in there, your parking could be off.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. I have all these old cars. Mini is a 2014. It's got none of that. And then I've got 2005, 2003, 1994, 1996. I got all these older vehicles, and I'm like, I don't think anyone could actually drive my vehicles anymore. Some of them are stick shifts, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, but I'm concerned that people are going to get into some older vehicle, and they're going to be like, oh, it didn't warn me that I couldn't just switch lanes without looking.
Yeah, or your backup sensor line, your lines.
Yeah. I use my backup camera in my Ram.
I would like to have that. For trailers.
I mean, when I get in my old, I have an 01 Tahoe.
Okay.
When I back up, I'm like, oh yeah, I've got to actually turn my head.
Yeah, yeah. I have an 03 Tahoe, and I'm thinking about adding just the backup camera for the trailers, and even my Titan's 05, no backup camera. And then I recently had a car that had the backup camera. It's like, oh, this is nice.
I don't
have to turn my head.
We just got a Transit high roof. I mean, this thing's a monster, brand new Diamond Auto Glass van. And just yesterday, one of my techs was fueling, and he couldn't back up normally because there was a car on the side. And he backs up, and I mean, he was like, I don't think I'm going to hit that. And he bumped a law enforcement vehicle. and it was funny. It was funny because he comes back and he says, man, that guy was just angry. And it was a minor scratch,
really tough,
and it was on like the front, bumper guard.
Yeah,
so it was like no big deal. But he's like, license, registration, insurance, and then another law enforcement, a buddy of his, pulls up and says, "Oh, Diamond Auto Glass, man, they're great. They tinted a lot of my cars, and I just love those guys." And then the other guy started relaxing and calmed down. And sorry about that scratch, sir, if you're listening. But, I think it's all's good.
Did they demand it be fixed or they were cool?
I think he says, I just got to report it. But,
yeah.
I mean, it was literally a scratch.
Of all the things.
So, so the new one, I remember like my old cars, my old Camaro and stuff from the 70s. The windshield, the rear view mirror just glued on the windshield. And every once in a while it'd fall off and you have to go to the auto parts store and get some more glue and stick it back on. But those days are gone.
How do you attach this? Like,
those days are still there.
Okay.
There's still what we call a mirror puck. That's it's pot metal that's glued to the glass, and the mirror twists onto it or pops off. It just depends on which manufacturer. There's all kinds of
all different
crazy
systems.
Engineered systems. But then they have a plastic bracket around that. Now, one of our issues is in right along with recalibration is the manufacturers are pushing these windshields out so fast that a lot of times we'll put a windshield in and the bracket is off and the will not calibrate properly. So then we have to, you know, one, either go, you know, find a different source for a windshield. Usually a lot of times the OEM manufacturer car dealerships, just to, you know, basically get that, you know, camera operational.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating, but it's been actually a shot in the arm for the auto glass industry. I mean, I started my business when I was 19, you know, going door to door, fixing rock chip repairs. And, you know, man, that was a long time ago. Yeah. And, you know, so I know this business inside and out, and I'm telling you, it's with the recalibrations, it's basically provided an additional line of income for us, and we kind of needed it.
Yeah.
You know, we were kind of getting squashed, like, you know, we were kind of dependent on insurance. We work with all insurance companies, but, you know, they want to keep the premiums down. That's another thing to talk about. These windshields have gotten really expensive.
Yeah, what's it cost on a new vehicle? I mean, like an SUV, I'm sure it varies widely, but like a new Tahoe or something like that.
All of them. I mean, I just bought a Kia windshield the other day. It was $1,300, $1,400, my cost.
Ooh, I thought these things were like, you know, a few hundred bucks.
Yeah. That was the retail list on a Kia. Bucks. And then I bought the same day, I think I bought a BMW windshield, and it was like $400 from the dealership. I'm like, okay.
That doesn't make sense.
I can't figure this one out, right?
Yeah.
But they all have that technology, and they all have the brackets up in the windshields. You know, they have cameras attached to them. Subarus are great. They have two cameras. Hmm. Some are attached to the glass. Some are attached to the headliner, but they still, you know, we still have to make sure that they calibrate and keep our customers safe and safe on the road.
I wonder if like our older vehicle, you know how they're trying to get rid of everything, destroy the dishwasher, everything's changing. I wonder if our older vehicles are going to have some law in the future. Some DC bureaucrats going to be like, your 94 Jeep Wrangler, yeah, you're going to have to get that up to safety standards. You need a camera. You need this. You need the tracker for the, because you know they want to switch to the mileage per pay per mile whatever that's called. Yeah. So you're going to have to add that in there. Or if everything will be grandfathered in, because seriously, it's changed so much. Are they going to add like heads up displays?
They have it.
They already have that?
Oh, they've had it in Corvettes since like early 2000s.
Yeah. Man, I'm so bad.
My 2002 Corvette had one.
Yeah, the Trans Am and a Corvette. One. Your truck has one?
My truck has one.
Your truck's a beast.
Yeah. I mean, it's neat to look up and see how fast you're driving and not have to, you know, stare down. It's a nice safety feature.
Well, it not only tells me how fast I'm going, it tells me what the speed limit is. So it'll say
it's all connected.
You know, it'll say 45 mile per hour speed limit, and it tells you you're doing 46.
That's your camera up in the windshield. It's reading the traffic signs.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. You mentioned gold and silver earlier. I do want to mention a place that I go to right here in Arizona, based in Arizona, Justin and his team at Desert Gold Exchange. They've taken care of my family. I'm a firm believer in owning a little bit as an insurance policy. Securely stored. I always mention this because people think they're going to show up, and that would probably be a bad thing in life. Securely stored, but in a place where you can get to it within a reasonable amount of time. We're not talking about like Cayman Islands or something like that, because if it hit the fan, you probably aren't getting out of the country. Yeah. But anyway, Desert Gold Exchange, Justin and his team, they'll help you out with all that and talk about things like that, including sending you an investor's kit. If you mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, give them a call at Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343, 888-852-4343. It is interesting to watch the technology advance, though, and I think there's so much good with it. But I think it is concerning, though. I was talking about this yesterday. The kids that showed up in New York City Union, whatever that is, that plaza.
Oh yeah.
With the game giveaway.
Yep.
And everyone's so connected, and everybody's doing, I think, a lot of unproductive things. Everybody's kind of in a 24/7 reality show now. Look at me, I've got my selfie stick, and now they're even recorded in their vehicle. Apparently, there's cameras go. I don't know if that's recorded or not, but if there's a camera, I assume. Is your windshield recording you?
Your windshield is not.
Okay, not unless it's like a Tesla. Then Tesla, do you do those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we sure do.
Tesla's got a lot of cameras, I hear.
Toyota has a GoPro camera in their Tacomas.
Oh, well, that's a big off-road.
It's a bracket, and yeah. It just will fit a GoPro.
Tacoma's like a big, that's overland type thing. People get those rigs set up and this and that.
Right now, the cameras are in probably 100% of passenger vehicles.
New ones.
Yeah. Cars and trucks, they're everywhere. The cool thing in like 4 or 5 years from now, if you like technology and the car's driving itself in 4 or 5 years, picture that. And the heads up display, you're going to be able to pull up Facebook or you're going to be able to pull.
Great.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you like Facebook,
you're going to be tweeting while you're driving.
You're going to be tweeting. I mean, you don't have to pay attention where you're going. I mean, Tesla drivers are already, able to, do their work on their laptop while they're, headed to Phoenix.
Well, I go down to Camp Verde a lot. And it's about an hour door to door. I'm thinking there's a lot of people that I know that live in areas like that actually commute to Flagstaff and other areas, maybe in Phoenix, sometimes Prescott. And it's like, okay, I can now do all my paperwork while I'm driving to the office and it's really no big deal. Or maybe this is my downtime. I'm streaming Netflix while I'm going and I'm just hanging out, so it's interesting. I don't know. I like my old cars.
You remember one of your listeners wrote in and said, what about things like tumbleweeds?
Yeah, they said that it swerved on a tumbleweed when we as humans, not the AI, we could just run through that, right? Yeah. Yeah. So that's the challenge. Is I think AI's got a lot of learning to do before it becomes Terminator, and then it won't matter. Then it'll just be shooting tumbleweeds and things like that.
Just blast them.
All right, let's hit a couple of. We've only got a few minutes, so I always want to try to get some Arizona news items. A second dead body at the Capitol. Have you been following this?
I saw that story. Yeah,
what's going on down there? We're talking about Phoenix.
Phoenix Capitol. Yeah,
the legislature there.
Two dead bodies within as many weeks, right?
That place is out of control.
That's a
little seedy area.
They haven't said what the first dead body is, but if you've been down to the Capitol, it is on the border.
It's rough.
You
blocks
want it?
Away.
Well, I went down there when we were looking for the Mini. We had like a list of 12 places to stop, and one of those was some dealership where I was like, oof, this guy might be in the mob. It was a little sketchy. Tuberculosis case confirmed at Bullhead City Elementary School.
Testing elementary school. Yeah. A kid or a teacher?
Don't know. Huh. I just pulled the headline.
Wow.
You have to look that up if you want to go further. I didn't want to get that detailed today. But it goes to follow up with what I was talking about yesterday with former state rep Bob Thorpe. And I did get some comments, and I'll follow up later in the week on the leprosy issue out of Florida. But I've been getting some more response. Angela's like, yeah, you wonder about these stories, and why do they pick Florida,
Right.
She's getting a little more tinfoil hat than I am, because it's Florida. Everything bad happens there.
Yeah.
But you never know unless you go. Well, but I don't know if I want to interview
what
people
they taught us
leprosy.
They taught us in media school, it's not what you tell people. You can't tell people what to think, but you can tell them what to think about. So you start thinking leprosy, Florida.
Yeah, yeah. It's like burned in there. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, Biden in Arizona today, Grand Canyon Monument, another million acres now under the, really under, it's you got federal land and you've got, then you can get like, monument, national park, and then wilderness area. And then Arizona, as we said earlier, is what, 18% private property. So it's a real problem. But the people in D.C., they don't understand the West.
No.
That I can guarantee you, the vastness of it all. Final one here, group is pushing, and Mark, maybe we'll spend more time on this tomorrow because this is a big issue, pushing a constitutional amendment to Arizona's constitution to allow abortion up to 24 weeks in Arizona. So they're pushing to get this on the ballot.
Yep.
Right now, Arizona has the 15-week ban that the legislature did, which many states are going to that.
Yep.
Well, I should say maybe half the states. They also want to allow abortions at any stage to protect the life, physical, or mental health of the birthing parent.
The mental health.
So
door that opens up to hold abortion on demand.
Hold that thought and save it. And I want you to push that all inside, Mark, because I know you're gonna we could probably rip on an hour on this issue, and we'll hit on that one tomorrow. All right, love your thoughts. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I've got Glenn Lease coming up. We're gonna do a business spotlight with Glenn Lease from WT Wealth Management, I believe, on this Friday show. I'll double check on that and get you more on that tomorrow. Why don't you call Glenn if you're thinking about getting a second set of eyes on your portfolio, figuring out where you're at when it comes to retirement. I mentioned the dog food. I said, you don't want to retire and eat dog food. And then Mary emailed me in. She's like, have you seen the price of canned dog food? It's more than people food at this point. So I don't shop, really.
I've actually looked at this store. Jeff, I was like, the cost of chicken, like thighs,
is cheaper than dog food. That's what Mary said.
I just buy my dog chicken and throw him chicken.
Yeah, just cook the chicken. We used to make our own baby food. Angela did all.
Oh,
that.
Really?
Yeah. She, I don't know if it's cheaper, but she went and did all that. Anyway, call Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, the second set of eyes, and have him do a free, no obligation consultation. No matter where you're at in Northern Arizona, 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474. Final thoughts when we come back.
You're listening to the Jeff Orvid Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Now, here's why. Most insurance companies, they use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try to route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop on by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading, and it'll save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass before, as I have, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on in. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Remember, always call Diamond Auto Glass first. 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. All right, welcome back. Final moments here. Moment. So,
Stuart got me thinking about something. So usually, you know, I'm looking at buying new cars or even a relatively new car, used car. You can look at how much it's going to cost you and say, how much is it going to cost to insure? Because some cars are much more expensive to insure. Now I'm starting to think about windshield replacement.
I had that conversation today. Yeah, a customer is like, how much for a windshield? I'm like, it's $900. And she's like, I have a $1,000 deductible. I'm like, and she's like, I don't know why my daughter is her daughter's car. I don't know why she has a $1,000 deductible. I'm like, it's like insurance companies are starting to realize that windshields that used to be $400 or $500 are now
they're cutting out that service. They're cutting out the towing too. I got tagged on towing.
Oh yeah,
the Titan issue I had. Yep. All right, Stuart Weatherman, owner of Diamond Auto Glass, right there on 4th Street in Flagstaff. I appreciate it, man. Appreciate all you do as well.
Yeah, welcome. Appreciate your inviting me in.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun, and I learned a lot. And Mark, we'll be back tomorrow. Hope you all have a great, safe night. Go to the website. Go check out talkwithjeff.com. Subscribe. I appreciate all you doing that. Take care. See you soon.